For about 9 years, the Department of Child Services has been a separate department of state government. When Governor Mike Pence took the reins of our state, he brought in a veteran jurist from Lake County, not from here, from Lake County, from all the way up in the region. But she got her undergraduate degree right here in Indianapolis at Marion University, got her law degree from Northern Illinois University, and she was on the bench in Lake County for 3 decades, dealing with juvenile court. And if you think juveniles down here is rough and tough, you go up to Lake County. But now her latest challenge is running the Department of Child Services. She is Judge Mary Beth Bonaventura, and she joins me live. Judge, Director, welcome.
Thank you. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. What inspired you to say yes to the governor for this challenge?
Well, I think, first, when somebody believes in you, just based on your record, that's a pretty awesome feeling. But aside from that, you know, doing 31 years, a job that was just fantastic for me. It was so rewarding to be able to help children and families in the way that I could for 31 years. To be able to do it on a statewide level, I think is probably a dream come true for somebody like me, to be able to do it in such a broad, sweeping way, and not just in individual cases, but, you know, in a bigger way. It just had to be.
I know the governor feels very strongly about family.
Yes.
I think that is one of his core values.
Yes.
And how are you steering that your department, Department of Child Services, to follow the governor's hope of strengthening Hoosier families?
Well, I would like to think that, first, let me say that he's all about families. He is so supportive of our agency because he knows that the work we do means, you know, the very life and death of children. So he's very serious about this work, as am I. And so to do that, I think that, you know, the tone that I needed to set was everything we do in the agency starts in the field, starts with the children and families, so that we can do all the big and bright and wonderful and beautiful and smart things up in central office. But we all of that work would be for naught if we didn't aim it and gear it and start it in the field. And so the governor supports that as well. And so we're trying to provide services to families in a way that strengthens them so that their children, as long as the children are safe, can remain in home. And if they can't, then they go with relatives. And if they can't be with relatives, then we look for placement outside of the home.
When you went out in the field, and I know you have been, you've not talked a lot to the media because you wanted to deal with taking care of business in your agency first and travel around. As you went out into the field and talked to the folks who do the work, what were their frustrations? What did they tell you, you know, Judge, this is what we need to do a better job on behalf of everybody? What'd you hear from them?
Well, I think some of our workers, you know, have been overworked, you know, dealing with this subject matter. Is often like police and firefighters. We're often traumatized in this job because of all the heartache and devastation we see in families. So dealing with that is part of it. And part of it is substance abuse. I see that all over the state, that substance abuse has just ravaged communities and left, you know, parents incapable of taking care of children because of drug addiction, and children being homeless because of that. So us having to find alternative homes. So I see that those are some of the issues that we face. And because of those terrible issues facing families and a case manager population to some degree that's overworked, we have turnover. And so as an agency head, I'm trying to figure out ways to deal with, you know, recruitment and retention of good staff is challenging at times.
You talked a minute ago about the priority, you know, if there are relatives that are available to take care of children in need, you know, that should be the first priority then before you even look at foster or other outplacement. There's a lot of extended family listening right now. If there are people listening that you know, after we do this interview, they run into a situation in their family where maybe their grandchildren or nieces or nephews get caught up in something and your office gets involved, how should the relatives proceed? Because I think sometimes relatives want to inject themselves into the process, trying to help, and sometimes that may not be the best thing. And I'm from a firm believer. Tell us what the rules are. Tell us how you wish the community to work with your agency.
Well, that's a funny thing because when we go into a home to investigate, we oftentimes have to depend on the parents to report to us people in their own families that might be interested in providing care for the children. And so sometimes there are relatives out there. I know for years as a judge, you know, you'd get to termination of parental rights and suddenly an aunt would show up and say, I've wanted to be a part of this child's life forever. Well, we didn't know about that person. And so to the extent that there are families out there that know that they have relatives that are in the system and feel like they want to be a part of it, they should contact their local Department of Child Services to make them aware that they're out there. We might know about it now. We may have decided that that's not the right course, but we won't be able to make that decision without knowing that they even exist. So I would say if there's someone out there that is interested, they can contact us. And if we feel that that's a good fit for the children and it's a safe place for them, then we would ask them to go through background, criminal background checks. And everybody over the age of 18 by law has to be go through those the background checks as well. And then they can go through foster parent training or not. And we have relative specialists on our staff that will then support them and give them the supports they need to make a placement with their relatives successful.
If you've been a judge 31 years, that means you kind of know the law. You probably know the law better than I. I'm just an honorary attorney. you know, honorary degree on the wall. There's a perception among some that when DCS gets involved in a case, the burden is on the parents involved to prove their innocence, as opposed to in a regular court setting or how the media has portrayed a regular court setting where it's up to the state to prove the charges beyond a reasonable doubt. What is the standard? In other words, hypothetically, a complaint comes in, your folks knock on the door to investigate. What is the burden?
The burden is, as you said, in a criminal case, it's beyond a reasonable doubt.
And the burden's on the state.
And the burden is on the state. And the burden is still on the state in this case, in the case of the Department of Child Services. We have to prove to the court by preponderance of the evidence, which means more likely than not, 51%. I mean, you know, what does preponderance mean? That the abuse and neglect actually did occur. So it is, the burden is still on the state to prove that to the court, that that's in fact what happened. So the standard isn't as great as beyond a reasonable doubt. There can be, you know, 49% doubt that it happened. But I think the law is written that way because if we're going to make a mistake and we want to make it in the favor of a child. And so we want to make sure that children are safe. So we've lowered that standard a little bit so it doesn't have to be beyond a reasonable doubt because that's a tough burden, beyond a reasonable doubt. And so we want to make sure that children are safe, and because of that, it's a preponderance of the evidence. That said, if the case goes forward and you end up at a petition to terminate parental rights, the state has to prove by clear and convincing evidence. So the standard is higher. It's not beyond a reasonable doubt, but it is higher than a preponderance of the evidence standard. Then the state must prove that by clear and convincing evidence that the parental rights should be terminated.
One of the other myths that's out here is that a child, to get out of doing homework or to get out of being, or the parent says, do this. The child says, I'm not going to do this. And if you tell me I'm going to do this, I'm going to pick up this phone and I'm going to call child services and get you. There's this myth out there that a child can call you and start a case just to keep from doing what their parents want them to do.
Well, that is absolutely a myth. I mean, come on. First of all, a child isn't going to be able to call the office. They have to call a hotline. The hotline is 800-800-5556 for those children listening out there that want to make that report. Once that report is made, then it goes, that report of abuse and neglect goes to the local offices to decide, are they going to assess it or not? And then I can probably assure you beyond a reasonable doubt that no one has assessed a case based on a child calling and saying, you know, I don't want to do what my parent told me to do.
Well, so what if they say a feeling? They beat me, which would mean the person answering the phone, oh, that sounds like abuse. And then they find there's no abuse.
They would find that there's no abuse and the case is closed. So it's never brought before a judge. So a case manager, let's say that the case manager goes out based on a child calling and saying, I've been beaten by my parent. Well, you have to show some evidence of that. And it wouldn't just be looking at the child's, you know, physical being. You would probably talk to the parent. You would talk to other siblings to see, is in fact, that's what happens. You would maybe go out to the school at some point and discuss, have you ever seen the child with bruises, or, you know, what's the situation with homework? These are pretty savvy case managers. These are case managers that go through 12 weeks of very intensive training. Mm-hmm. The workers on the hotline go through 15 weeks of intensive training. And most of the people have been doing this for a very long time. And so, you know, you'd have to get up pretty early in the morning to get past a case manager with a story, my parent beat me with no other evidence.
One of the things that also comes up that I will hear from parents who are trying to do the right thing, and this is particularly with older teens. Mm-hmm. They're trying to do the right thing. They perceive that their child, you know, is kind of going off the deep end, kind of running off the rails. They are almost to the point of wanting to throw their hands up. I've had parents call and say, you know, I've tried to tell the police, take him or her. I can't handle it anymore. But then in the back of their minds, they're saying, wait a minute, if I do that, then the state will come in. And it also boils out the lack of agencies around to help parents who feel they can't go any further or they need help to deal with their children. What's the role, if any, of the Department of Child Services in steering parents toward that kind of help? In other words, here the parents gone as far as they think they can go with this child and they can't, you know, deal with it, and they, you know, and they want to cry for help.
Mm-hmm. There are agencies out in the community. If somebody came to the Department of Child Services and needed help, there are community partners that we contract with to provide services to families. That maybe what's happening in the family doesn't rise to the level of our involvement because there's no abuse or neglect. And so we can refer them to the community partners for help. In all honesty, you know, there are things that happen in families where cases might escalate to the point where police are called. Mm-hmm. The kids punched a hole through the wall or whatever, and police are called. And the department gets involved that way. And we never want children to have to be labeled, you know, delinquent if they're not truly delinquent children. But sometimes, you know, things do escalate when parents get frustrated because they feel like there's nowhere else to turn. But there are services out there available. I'm sure schools can refer them to community partners, and certainly we can refer families to community partners that are out there to provide counseling, parenting classes, substance abuse, evaluations and things like that.
239-1310, 239-1310 with Judge Mary Beth Bonaventura. She is the head of the Department of Child Services. Let me, I need to, if you start asking, and I think you're asking about a specific case that DCS is dealing with, I'm not going to get in trouble with the Chief Justice. And so I will hold you off on that. I got to protect my honorary law degree here. but other than that, let me start today with Melissa. Hi, Melissa.
Hi, Amos. Hi, Judge.
Hi.
Thank you for taking my call. I just wanted, because I listen to Amos's show every day, it's always enlightening, but I just wanted to let callers know that DCS is not always the bad people. I actually had an instance where I had a child pass away at home, and so DCS came out. My child was a toddler, an infant, actually. And DCS came out, and after I had a pathology report with the autopsy and whatnot, the case was closed. But I was treated very nicely when they came out. They weren't rude. They were very empathetic to my situation. I have another child, and they, you know, they did look at him to make sure that he was not bruised or anything like that, and he was not. But the entire time, they were extremely nice. So they're not always, like, the bad people, and some people do stereotype you guys to be like that.
Thank you, Melissa. It's nice to know that we have. You don't work for me, do you? No, I'm just kidding.
I'm
kidding.
I
appreciate, you know, the support, because it's a terrible job to have to walk into somebody's home where a child is, you know, has just passed, and yet we have a responsibility to make sure that the children that are surviving, that they're safe. And so sometimes we are put in a situation that isn't comfortable. So I appreciate the fact that you had as good an experience as you could have under the circumstances. And I'm very sorry for what happened to you.
All right.
Thank
Melissa,
you. Thank you so much.
Melissa, appreciate it. Let me go to Sharon at 239-1310. Hi there.
Hi there. I had a question for the DCS caseworker. I wanted to know if a caseworker closed the case during DCS, as it was open, and made false reports, who do you report them to.
So you're alleging that there was a caseworker that made false reports?
Yes, that falsely closed the case and made false reports to the judge and closed the case.
And the case was closed?
Yes, she had it closed on false reports that she turned in.
And how long ago was this?
About 6 months ago.
Oh, about 6 months ago. All right. Now, the guest here is not the caseworker, or I guess you could say that she's the head of all the caseworkers. If somebody involved in a case believes that either errors were made or falsities were made, how would they bring that to the department's attention?
Okay. Well, in this particular case, I would say that if you could, in writing, provide that information to our agency, then I will investigate it. We do have an internal investigation as part of our agency now. That's something new that we've worked on since my administration. So we will look into that. And, of course, if there's any truth to it, you know, I really would like to have that information to investigate.
And that should be sent to your attention?
Yes, it should.
All right. So, Sharon?
Okay.
You would need to
need
to document that and send that to Judge Mary Beth Bonaventura, who is the director of Indiana's Department of Child Services.
Okay, thank you.
You're quite welcome. Let me go to Tracy at 239-1310. Hi there.
Hi, yes. I was wondering, my children attend a school that follows the Common Core, the guidelines for the curriculum. If I, as a parent, decided to opt out of them being tested during ISTEP and NWEA, well, is that something that I'll be reported for to DCS?
That's a great question.
Wow. In 31 years, I never heard that question.
I think she's worried, and I know in some other states, parents are opting out or telling the schools they don't want their kids to take the standardized test, the state version of ISTEP. And I'm not sure. That's a good question. If they opt out, would the school? I don't know whether depriving a child of an opportunity to take a test doesn't sound like that rises to the standard. As long as the kid stays in school,
right? The law says the child has to stay in school from ages, I think it's 7 to 17.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know that the statute speaks to having to take tests as well. Now, I'm not sure what the school would do with that. The school may decide the child needs, I don't know, can the school say the child, dismiss the child? Or, because what's the point of the education if they can't pass the curriculum? This might be a better question for the Department of Ed.
Yeah, Tracy, you're talking about just the standardized test, not the regular other test in the classroom.
Right, the standardized test that gives them a percentage, that gives a child a percentage, and if they're smart or not, it's the standardized ones, not the regular ones.
I guess my question would be, why would you not want them to take the standardized test?
Well, I don't agree with Common Core.
Okay. Well, let's put it this way. There's a whole lot of folks in Indiana that don't agree with Common Core. What you might – I tell you what I want you to do. I want you to hold on. If you would be so kind as to give Chris your name and a number where you can be reached during the day, okay? And we'll communicate that to Judge Bonaventura's staff, and she might communicate with the Department of Education, and somebody will get back to you with at least some kind of answer.
Okay.
Okay. I don't think that rises to the level of a DCS complaint.
If it does, it hasn't happened yet.
Yeah. But of course, now the legislature is talking about changing Common Core anyway. So,
right.
So the legislature may be getting ready to do what you want them to do.
Yeah. You never know.
All right, Tracy, I appreciate that. So just hold on and Chris will get that information. And while we're doing that, we'll take a break at 239-1310. 239-1310, we'll continue our conversation with the director of the Department of Child Services, Judge Mary Beth Bonaventura. Tomorrow, Minister Nuri, the Nation of Islam, will be here to thank everybody for the great turnout this past weekend with Minister Louis Farrakhan. Also, we'll tell you about the annual McMiracle on 38th Street, and the Indiana Regional Minority Supplier Council has expanded. They're now covering area all the way to St. Louis. We'll talk with Carolyn Mosby about that and more. It's Afternoons with Amos on a busy Monday. Back to the phones, and Shayla, hi there.
Hi.
Hi.
I had a general question as a recent medical school graduate applying for psychiatry residency positions. I want to go into child and adolescent psych, and I wanted to know what exactly is the Department of Justice's role when it comes to those calls that you do get to the home when a child is unruly? I know you said you don't want to declare someone a delinquent when they're not. So what exactly is your role with having them evaluated by a child and adolescent psychiatrist before they're necessarily put in the system and charged with something else?
Well, that's a really timely and good question in that we have currently what's going is our mental health initiative, which has been rolled out to approximately half the state now. But what that is where a person can be referred to the local mental health agency and can be evaluated to see what help, if any, the child needs. And the Department of Child Services has contracts with agencies that will then we will pay for 2 months of services for the family and then ongoing if it's needed and to see if the family can get the help and have the child remain in the home. And of course, if it escalates to where the child can no longer remain in the home, we would provide residential treatment if that's indicated as well. So, you know, historically, there wasn't a lot available for children who had severe mental health issues. And so families found themselves calling the police and they would end up being delinquent and then they would access help that way. And we recognize that that's not the best, and that's not what's in a child's best interest, nor is it in the best interest of any family to have to go through that. So where a family does want help for their child, we are hoping now to partner with FSSA to ensure that children are getting help without having to become labeled a CHINS or a delinquent. I don't know if that helped answer your question.
No, that was pretty good. Thank you.
You're welcome.
I appreciate it. Let me go to Brenda at 239-1310. Hi, Brenda.
Hi.
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 I have a question for the judge.
Go ahead.
I had two children removed from the home. This happened back a while ago. But the thing of it is, I want to know, is there any way that I can get in touch with them? Or are they in the system? Or how do I go about trying to find my kids?
Were you the mother?
Yes.
And were, in this case, did your parental rights were eliminated?
Yes.
Okay, that's a good question. If someone's rights are eliminated, do they lose, judge, their rights to contact their children, or it has to be after they become adults?
Yes. Once the rights are terminated, then they have no right to have any information about the children. So they would have to wait until the children were old enough to make that decision on their own that they, in fact, wanted to have contact with their biological families. So I would say to you that to make sure that, in fact, your rights have been terminated and that there's no way for you to reunite with your family, you should try to contact your former case manager to make sure that that's, in fact, what happened. Because maybe there were some things going on in your life that maybe you don't have all of the information involved. So maybe you should contact your former case manager to make sure that, in fact, your rights have been terminated. But once they are terminated, then you are no longer the legal parent of that child.
Okay.
Okay, thank you.
All right, thank you. 239-1310. 239-1310. We go to Lee. Hi there.
Hi. I have a question for the judge.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. I'll make it short and sweet. I was a therapeutic foster parent. I voluntarily relinquished my foster care license. I had a foster child who claimed that I abused her. It was substantiated. I have spent $5,000 clearing my name. If you read the reports that were done, it's very obvious that there was a lot of dishonesty from the foster child in the report. Had a history of that, had a history of battery. I guess my question is, one, do people realize the trauma that is put on not the foster child, but the foster family and subsequently my children? I lost my job because of it. Thank God I have a place of employment where I could transfer to a different department. But what's the repercussion for the CPS worker who did a poor investigation?
How many?
And then subsequent to that, this child's mom, I'm assuming it's her mom because, you know, you don't know who called in the CPS reports, but did another report And there was a CPS worker who on the report stated that she was out to my house and my house was above minimal standards. This lady never set foot in my house.
How many years ago was this?
It started in May 7, 2012, and I got the paperwork last week that I was cleared of everything, and DCS was ordered to, I can't think of the word, but take everything off my record about it.
To expunge? Did they use the word expunge?
Yes, they used the word expunge.
They did use the word expunge. Yes. Were you represented by an attorney in any of this?
Yes, that's where I spent about $4,000 or $5,000 to clear my name.
Okay. I think the judge has to be a little cautious how she responds, since this is, even though they close it out, it's still technically an active case. Is there anything you can comment on that, Judge?
Well, not about that specific case, but when I, well, and maybe it is about the specific case, but when I hear about alleged, you know, case manager misconduct or misinforming, I think that's really vital for the agency to know. So to the extent that she could provide or share with me some of those details, not on the air, of course, but if she could send me a letter with the information about case manager name, her name and the children's name, and allow us to investigate to make sure that what happened to her doesn't happen to somebody else. Because it's not only a chilling effect for wonderful people to come forward to be foster parents, but it's not good for children to go through those experiences. So I would hope that you would let me know that information so that I can investigate that.
I would be more than willing to sit down and talk with you and let you do whatever you need to do.
Well, I think what the judge said, and this came up with an earlier caller, is put it all down in writing. And, you know, mail it to her. And if you want to make sure that it's one of those things where you send it so you know she got it, and mm-hmm. Somebody had to sign for it, send it to Judge Mary Beth Bonaventura, the director of Indiana Department of Child Services.
Can you spell her last name, please?
Her last name is Bonaventura.
Thank you very much.
All right. You're quite welcome. 239-1310 to the phones and anonymous. Hi there.
Yes. I had a question in regards to the judge. I had a question. Well, first of all, my child is in foster care. She's been in foster care for 7 months, and she only got taken. The dad had custody of the child, and some things happened where they thought the child was molested and all this stuff. So the child been in foster care for 7 months almost now, but I called because I'm concerned in regards to trying to find out, do DCS supposed to give, like, people psychological evaluations and things like that?
Well, it depends on what people you're talking about. I can tell you that...
I mean, my case manager, because I have a case manager. I have a new case manager, and she had me take this psychological evaluation, and I really don't know what's going on with my case, because they actually said that the plan was for them to reunify the child with me, mm-hmm. but now I think that they don't want to place the child back with me. Now they had said they're going to try to look into placing the child with a relative, but the case manager keep telling me this, and I really don't know what's going on with the case, because she keep telling me that they're going to try to place the child with the relative, and she hadn't really got anything started, like paperwork or anything. So I mean.
Okay.
I actually have a court date coming up this week.
Okay. And it's important for you to go to court, because let me just say to you that the law in Indiana is that we are supposed to reunite children with their families. So that's going to be the ultimate goal, is to reunify you with your child. And in the interim, if you can't be with your child, then we will look to relatives to place the child with so that they can be with family members. And if that doesn't work out, then we'll look to foster care or to some other form of foster care, whether it's residential care or group home or whatever. But you really must go to court, because the case manager will present their case as it relates to you and your child to the judge, and the judge will decide what services you're going to receive, whether it's a psychological evaluation, parenting classes, substance abuse evaluations, ongoing homemaker services. They can provide visitation in the home. There's a whole array of services that can be provided to you. So it will be very, very important that you go to court so the judge can see that you're interested in reuniting with your child.
Caller, let me ask you. You said that the caseworker had ordered you to take a psychological thing. Is that correct?
No, I, I guess guess it must came out wrong. It wasn't a court order for me to take a psychological evaluation. It was something that she just came up with.
And did you take that evaluation?
I did take it, and I find that I do have a copy of the report, and there's a lot of things that they said about me that I disagree with.
Well, I
feel like this is something that they might have brought up in court.
Okay, well, you need to be there then. You absolutely need to be there.
Do you have a legal representation that's helping you when you go to court?
No, not really. I did have another public defender, but I found out that he won't even be at court this coming Wednesday. So,
wait a minute. Is this your registered public defender?
No, I had one at first, but then they turned around and changed me to a different one.
And the one that they changed you to, he's not available?
Well, he said that he won't be able to be at court this week.
Well, then when you go to court, you need to tell the judge that. Because that person is, he should also, that public defender should communicate to the judge that he can't be there. That's important.
Okay.
The other thing is, do you have family members that can be in court with you?
No, that would make my situation so bad, because the fact that I don't have any family support around me.
Do you have a church home?
No.
You don't?
I was talking to the case manager, trying to figure out, make some type of arrangement where they can, force them, trying to flex the child with.
So you, hold on. So you have no family and friends here in Indianapolis?
No, I have a sister, but I don't have no contact with her, so it's kind of hard.
Okay, because see, it's important when you go to any kind of court, and the judge knows this because she's had a lot of people, that you have family, having family members with you helps.
Yes, it does.
But if you don't have anybody, if you had a church home, maybe, the pastor, assistant pastor can go with you.
I used to have a church home.
Did you leave it on good terms?
I did.
Well, then I'd call them up. See if one of the assistant pastors can be with you. Doesn't hurt to have God with you in the courtroom. Okay?
Okay.
All right, good luck to you. Let me go to Mike at 239-1310. Hi, Mike.
Decent. I had a question.
Yes. Hello? Yeah, we're right here. Go ahead.
Okay. I had custody of my 13-year-old. I didn't have her ever since she was 2 years old.
Mm-hmm.
So one day, a Friday, I dropped her off at school, and her mom was there. This happened like less than a month ago. Her mom was there to pick her up from school.
Mm-hmm.
She told the people at school that I haven't been letting her see her for 7 years because she's supposed to get on the weekends, but she quit getting on the weekends. Well, the police called CPS, and CPS came into the picture. Well, CPS made me take a drug test and all that, which that was clean because I don't do no drugs or nothing like that. But this is where I was questioned at. They took my shorty, they took my daughter from me and gave her back to her mama because I had me and my ex was staying together and we had a restraining order against each other, which was up in like 2 weeks. So the restraining order is up now. Now, since I have court documents that I have custody of her, do I get my child back? Because she said the case will be closed in 30 days, but it hasn't been 30 days yet.
And wait a minute, when you say the case was closed, what did the judge rule in your case?
I didn't go to court.
Why didn't you go to court?
They didn't give me no court date.
They haven't given you a court date?
No, they ain't do nothing. All they just was like, because we were staying together and there's a restraining order in process, then they was going to leave her with her mom.
Do you have an attorney?
Yeah, I got lawyers, yo.
You do have a lawyer?
Yeah, I got one, yo.
Yeah, but you need to put it in the hands of the lawyer, because if you have a valid court order that says you are the parent and CPS is in the case, you're going to need a lawyer to help sort this out.
So is that deep?
I would say it's deep, and the judge cannot comment because this is an active case.
Oh, no stuff.
No, yeah, but the reason I say it's active is there's been no decision in it. That's why it's active. It's going on right now, and she can't comment.
So I got to basically rap to my attorney and have my attorney get a court date or something.
You better have, first of all, if CPS has investigated you, they should have scheduled a court date to bring you before a judge.
Oh, the chick didn't do all that. Like, she was kind of foul. Like, she kind of took my character in the wrong way. Like,
all right, well, I tell you what, because it sounds like, and the judge is giving me this look like you should know the status of your case. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to hold on. I want you to give Chris, the gentleman that you talked to when you called me, give Chris your name and a phone number where you can be reached during the day, and someone from the department staff will call you and try to sort out where your case is. They can at least tell you the status of your case.
And it's cool, because I've been calling the chick, and she don't even answer the phone. She'll do nothing, because I was like, why didn't you get a mama a drug test? And like, okay, she wasn't trying to say nothing, you know?
All right, well, that don't sound like what the judge would want her people to do, so I want you to hold on and give Chris that information, okay? Will you do that for me? 239-1310, 239-1310. We'll take a break. We'll be back with our many moments. And, yes, I am going to ask, can you spank in Indiana? You know, I got to ask the question. I got to get some backup on this. It's After News with Amos after these. All right, so we're with the director of the Department of Child Services of the state of Indiana, Judge Mary Beth Bonaventura. She served 31 years on the bench in Lake County. So I got to ask you. Now, Judge, I've been doing this a long time. And I have continued to stand up for the law in Indiana and telling people who call me and are convinced you cannot spank your child in Indiana. I said, as the president would say, yes, you can. What is the law?
Yes, you can spank your child in the state of Indiana. I think what people can't do is beat their child. I mean, I think people have chosen to use weapons sometimes to discipline their children, like belts with buckles, switches, cords that leave marks and bruises, and sometimes they'll hit children on the face. And so I often have families will say, well, he moved. You know, I was giving him a whipping, and he moved. And when he moved, I got him across his face. And I'm thinking, well, I'm going to get whipped. I'm moving too, right? Uh-huh. You don't want to stand still for that. And so what I tell them is that you cannot use a weapon. Uh-huh. I think that it's perfectly okay to spank a child with your hand. In 31 years, I never had a case brought by the Department of Child Services for spanking, but I had plenty for, you know, open cuts from belt buckles and from slashes with a whip or a belt or a cord or a stick. And that's abuse. And I would say to families, and I would say to the families listening today, if what you do to your child, you would want your neighbor arrested for. So I would say, would you call the police if your neighbor did this to your child? And if they say yes, I'm saying, well, then you can't do it either.
And is that myth up in Lake County? It's not just a Marion County myth?
Oh, my gosh. It's absolutely. It's alive and healthy in Lake as well.
239-1310. Back to the phones. And another Tracy. Hi there. Oh, we answered Tracy's question. Let me go to Crystal. Oh, you see, I think it happens when we get all, you know, when calls get all kind of hot, then the lines just overload and AT&T. What's the hardest job? What's the hardest part of this job?
The hardest part of the job is probably knowing that no matter what you do, because of the stress and the frustration people experience, children are always going to be abused and neglected. Hmm. And that's really hard to live with, that sometimes no matter what you do, our best efforts sometimes fail. And trying to figure out how do we make life stress-free, which you and I both know, is almost impossible to do. And so, you know, you just worry a lot about the kids that you can't get to or that you don't know about. So that's hard.
Is the rising poverty in this state, in parts of the state, exacerbating the problems of children in abusive homes?
Yes, I think so. And obviously, poverty alone doesn't make people abuse or neglect their children. Mm-hmm. But I think poverty coupled with substance abuse, domestic violence, lack of education, all of those things certainly lend to abuse and neglect. And what we're hoping to do in Indiana is to be able to map and do mapping around the state to see where there are services available, where there's high pockets of poverty and substance abuse and all of that, to see what services we can bring to certain areas of this state to alleviate the abuse and neglect that currently exists.
Let me go to Crystal at 239-1310. Hi there. Crystal?
Yes.
You're on the air.
So I have a question regarding the DCS. And as I said, I know you said I can't talk about the personal, but I am dealing with them, and the whole matter of dealing with them is not fair. Should they be able to keep my kids from my family because of me dealing with them?
So they've got a case currently with you, correct?
Yeah, I have a case open with them because of something that involved me, an incident, and my kids are placed with their father.
Okay.
And, you know, we were told that by them, you know, being taken from me, that shouldn't keep them from my family.
And when you say your family, that's your sisters and brothers and...
My mother, yes, everyone in my family.
Okay, and what reason are they giving that they cannot, you know, be with your family?
They don't give one. You know, my family reaches out to them, and they try to call, because right now they're with their father, who is with his parents.
Mm-hmm.
And my mother reaches out to talk to his mother and with the caseworker and the woman who supervises my visits, and they always give a reason why, you know, or the kids, it's a safety concern.
All right. Let me ask the judge, this is an active case. I'm going to ask a hypothetical. Judge, hypothetically, if they say don't bring the kids over to the father in a case, does that don't also affect the father's side of the family, his mother and father, his brothers and sisters?
Would it affect that they could see the mother?
Could
see
him, could not see this kid?
No, I would say, and I don't know all the facts in this case, and obviously we can't go into the facts, but I would say that if we have a mother and a father and the mother can't have custody for whatever reasons, that the children should go with the father, mm-hmm. providing the father is safe, mm-hmm. and that he will provide a healthy environment for the children. And then what happens after that, if he's not allowing visitation with the maternal side of the family, I think that we need to know why not, because that's not healthy for children to be cut off from any of the family, whether it's dad's family or mom's family. So I think the case manager, if that's in fact happening, is that by design by the case manager in the court? Is that what's in the children's best interest? Or are they in violation of what the DCS plan is that the court has approved?
Should that side of the family, of the parent that has the child? That does not have the child.
So the maternal side?
The maternal side. Should that family be told by the caseworker or DCS, here's the deal?
Yeah. I think minimally the mother should be told.
Mm-hmm.
Because they aren't parties. The grandparents or sisters or aunts children aren't parties. But certainly the mother should be told, yes, they can see the child, or no, they cannot see the children.
So the caller theoretically should be told what the ground rules are.
Yes, absolutely.
And Crystal, it sounds like you don't know what the ground rules are. Is that correct?
No, I don't really know anything because they closed me out on stuff.
All right, then here's what I'm going to do. If you would hold on and give Chris your name and a number where you can be reached during the day, someone from the judge's staff will look into this situation, at least be able to tell you what the status is. Okay?
Okay.
I appreciate it, Judge. Appreciate having you.
Thank you.
You see, when you come back, you're just popular, but you're answering a lot of questions.
And there's lots of questions out there, so I really appreciate you allowing me this opportunity.
Well, you're welcome back anytime.
Well, you invite me. I'll be here long as I have a ride over.
Well, yeah, tell your ride, you know, yes. that you can come over here. She is Judge Mary Beth Bonaventura, the new director of Indiana's Department of Child Services. And happy holidays to you. Glad to have you here.
Thank you. Same to you.